Well, it's been a while, and you may have missed us, but we are back with MSECU Radio. How y'all doing? I'm joined by three wonderful folks, most of us from God's Conference, and one of the heathen Southerners. So speaking of the Southerner, joining us from Klanga, fresh off his bowl whipping, it is Unstable Mongoose. How are things?
They're going pretty well until you opened your mouth about 5 seconds ago.
I am an equal opportunity harasser. And my team won our bowl game. So I get to have fun. And wait, I was going to say, I wonder, did our other two guys even get to go to bowl games? First, in the Frozen North, whose team also lost to mine in basketball, it is Boat Drinks. How are things?
Yeah, we did not go to a ball game. We were done by, like, late October, so if you would like to rub it in, you may, but we can move on.
All right, and we'll mosey on down south a little bit to fellow God Conference member El Rocco. How are things?
I'm doing well. Virginia Tech won their bowl game. They are the state champs of Ohio and the transitive national champion. So it was a good year or something.
And this is also your reminder that Logan Thomas started an NFL game.
Actually, no, he didn't. He couldn't even beat out Ryan fucking Lindley, of all people, which I think is the
oh my
worst
God.
Thing.
I thought he...
No, he was. He
no,
was
they
going
said
to.
No. We'd rather have Lindley.
Yeah, he was so bad in a like the Wednesday practice before the game that Bruce Arians like, I can't really do this. Just kidding. We're gonna let Lindley play instead.
Okay. Oh shit.
Which, having watched him for 3 years, I can believe it that he would have been that terrible. That anyway.
Wow, y'all, Cincinnati was that good?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Well, they play in the AC, so relative scale.
Yeah, that's true. I just figured, you know, Tommy Tuberville's never good for what qualifies as a quality season out of school. But, you know, maybe he's got his eye on bigger jobs. You know?
Him leave for a bigger job? Never.
Yeah, exactly. But, all right, so jumping into, I guess, our... basically, conference review. We'll start with the ACC because we must mock somebody, and you know it gives us a chance to show that we really have no idea what we're talking about. And I would like to take a moment to laugh at SMU, Southern Methodist, because dear sweet Jesus, were they terrible? I guess that's what happens when your coach quits at the beginning of the year. Just like, nah, fuck it, I'm out.
They were a special breed of terrible.
Yeah.
I think, wasn't it something like they didn't score a touchdown for 4 weeks?
That would not shock me at all. I do like that their little ESPN page doesn't even show up, like, show previous games, and it's just kind of like this little shitty thing. Let's see here. 0-6-6-0 points for the first four games of the season.
Yeesh.
But
it's performance art. I think you actually have to try to score such a small number of points. I don't think that you can go out there and just be so bad that that happens. I feel like you are going to accidentally score sooner or later.
In fairness, those games were against Baylor, North Texas, Texas A&M, and TCU.
They were 128.
You just said something about a North Texas.
that's a fair point.
They were 128th for points for and 127th in points against. Out of 128 teams, I think that's bad. Is that bad?
But look at their lone victory to end the season against UConn. UConn, who was this close to getting into the ACC. This close.
Oh.
God, I'm so glad UConn's not in the ACC. And then I think we should also make mention of East Carolina, who, I mean, God, that was a train wreck.
Oh, fuck East Carolina.
Yeah, but I mean,
if we talk about them too much, they'll think we care about them and they'll declare a rivalry, and we don't want to do that.
Yeah, but there was a point where everyone was impressed by them.
Yeah.
Oh, they're fun.
They're fun.
That first month when you're like, okay, who's what? And they were beating up on people you like to see get beat up on.
And then they lost to Temple, which takes some doing.
Yeah, I think we beat Temple this year. So.
Temple curb stopped Vandy, but Vandy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to go verify we beat Temple. That might be one of those games I'm dreaming about.
I mean, they beat Virginia Tech, for God's sakes. They beat the transitive national champs.
They are therefore even more of a national champ.
Exactly.
They beat the transitive national champs on the road. There are not a lot of teams in the country that are tough enough to do that.
Well, you know, Alabama rules. It wasn't a national title game, so Tech didn't take it very seriously, so it doesn't really count.
That's true.
He's not wrong. He's not wrong. All right. Well, that's enough about conferences.
Memphis winning 10 games, since I don't think that's happened ever. We probably should give a small applause for them.
Yeah, they'll get a golf clap. Two fingers.
That's just how you say hello in Memphis.
Well, the thing about Memphis's football team is they have a proud tradition of scheduling well above their weight class in the Southeast, and then just every 5 or 6 years they'll punch someone in the teeth, and it's the most hilarious thing ever. So expect to see a really embarrassing Ole Miss loss in the next season or two, since they're the only team on the schedule right now.
Yeah, didn't they beat the one of the Eli Manning Ole Miss teams?
Yes, they did.
Like the good Eli Manning Ole Miss teams.
Yeah. Sadly, this year they lost to the only decent teams they played in UCLA and Ole Miss. And then they lost to Houston.
Just for fun.
Yeah.
I love the ACC. I feel like the ACC is really the new action of wacky results and nobody knows what the hell's going on.
Because, it's been some really fun football.
Yeah. And Maction, let's be honest, sucks the past 2 years. Like, it's just been bad.
Yeah. There was a couple of good games. But it wasn't like the standard every week, oh my God, can you believe it?
Yeah. Like,
we've been spoiled.
Yeah. 2 years ago you just had Northern Illinois killing everybody, and then this year you just didn't have nobody was good, and not like watchably bad, just like creeping death bad.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, holy shit, Northern Illinois won 11 games again.
And they weren't even that good.
Wait, seriously?
Yeah. Yeah. 7-1, 11-3. Huh. Go figure.
Oh, that's right. The ACC is actually called American.
Yeah. But all right, so now it's time to move to God's conference, I believe.
All right, here we go.
And dear goddamn it, Florida State, I fucking hate you people. God.
Let's see, Florida State.
The horseshoe.
Oh, yeah. We didn't do bad in that game.
Nobody did badly against Florida State. They all thought they had a chance of winning.
I never had a chance.
Until the fourth quarter rolled around.
They were sleeping on our game. They didn't even pretend to play in our game, and then they just beat up on us the last half.
We missed a 23-yard field goal. We hiked the ball over our heads at the goal line to then miss a 40-yard field goal. Our best cornerback slipped and allowed a 70-yard touchdown towards the end of the game, and then there was whatever the fuck that fourth quarter or overtime fourth down play was.
Hey, we need 2 inches. Let's go shotgun and try something off tackle play.
Yeah.
Florida State season was just mystifying to me because it seemed like a competition to see who could lose the most embarrassingly large lead.
Yeah.
At least we were only up by 17.
They enjoyed a challenge, and they didn't want to do anything the easy way, which worked for them until they ran into Oregon.
Oh.
Yeah.
God, which we're all thankful.
That was hot sex on TV.
that made up for an awful lot of bad Syracuse football.
Yeah.
I figured, okay, Florida State's fine. They got it right where they want them. Right up until the Jameis Winston fumble.
That was great!
But up until that part, I thought, they're going to score on this drive. Then, there's going to be, a intercept. They're going to pick off Mariota on a pass that's deflected three different times and score, and then they're going to be fine. I just kept waiting for that kind of thing to happen. And then when he fumbled on his own, that's when you knew it wasn't happening.
Yeah, it was. And it's funny because you had a part of the fan base that was very insistent that this was a great team. But anyone that watched football, you knew, because last year was a stupidly talented team.
Was a wrecking ball.
Yeah, and you look at the depth everywhere. It was phenomenal.
The guys who got drafted into the NFL.
Yeah, and I feel like it was a case of everybody except the crazy fans weren't using or weren't leaning on Florida State's reputation, especially once we got later into the season, and you kind of saw the full team. Whereas normally you have, the media will have that tendency of, well, they were great last year. It's kind of that Alabama syndrome. They were great last year. They're great this year still. They haven't lost. Type of thing.
I mean, let's be real. That's still a very good team. Even if you're playing in God's conference and, a lot of your games are hilarious luck fests that you win in the last second, going undefeated is not easy.
Yeah.
No. Yeah.
I feel, by week four, when they had to have a huge comeback against NC State, that's kind of when everyone realized, this Florida State team just isn't that great. We kind of looked at the Oklahoma State game, first game of the year, Clemson, no Jameis. But then again, NC State was decent, but I think they were down three scores and really had to pull that one out of their ass. And that's about that time for the rest of the year. It was most of the non-insane FSU fans kind of realized this Florida State team is just not all that great.
Yeah.
I mean, it's some cult of the quarterback stuff. You have a fantastic, legitimately, could compete for one of the most loaded teams in the last 10 years. And, the biggest name recognition is the quarterback. You keep your quarterback, people don't necessarily think as much about what else you lost.
Right.
Yeah.
And he did such things last year. He was the, follow-up to Johnny Manziel insanity, where he just turned around and did everything last year that Manziel was doing the years before that.
Yeah.
So he basically did the same thing where he went, hey, look at me, I'm a Heisman, bing, bang, boom. So you're waiting for him to at least, I don't think that Johnny slid backwards as much as,
no,
as it felt like sometimes Winston was doing.
Yeah, and that was bizarre to me.
Yeah, well, and it'll be interesting to see what happens to Winston in the NFL because, he's got the size. No question there.
He's got more size than Menzel.
Oh, yeah. Well, and Winston is in a NFL-type offense, so he's got that experience with the throws and the reads. But you look at this year where
he threw a lot of picks.
Right, and it's one of those, because there's the argument of, but last year he had NFL talent around him. But then the response is, there wasn't parity against everyone they played. Whereas in the NFL, your base talent level for the most part is a lot closer between, you know, mm-hmm. the Cleveland Browns and the Seattle Seahawks than it is, you know, between NC State and Florida State. And so I you know, to me, this past season has been is much better indicator of how he's going to do.
And the That's other true, thing that but... to me, he's dead to rights, exactly like Manziel is in attitude. He's exactly the same. Now, Manziel is coming from privilege and money and arrogance, but Winston is the same, maybe not privilege, but arrogance, and I can't, nobody's going to get me, and my shit doesn't stink. And man, every quarterback that comes in with that attitude to the NFL just gets grinded up and spit the fuck out.
And it is.
Well, I mean, Eli Manning came out with two Super Bowl rings after whining and getting the team yeah. that drafted him to trade him off. So,
I think a lot of it is that he had a coach in Coughlin who didn't put up with shit, and a lot of veterans on that, especially on their defense, who just didn't put up with shit.
Yeah.
It wasn't right away that he did well. He was pretty crappy the first two or three years.
That's true. I think that a lot of it has to do with, you know, you can be pretty arrogant as a quarterback in the NFL provided you can back it up.
Exactly.
And that's going to be the question with Winston is can he back it up? Because you look at Winston from this year, I think Brian's absolutely right. It doesn't look as impressive, but I still remember the first game I got to see a lot of him was 2013 Maryland. He was just zinging balls into triple coverage with laser accuracy, and it was unreal.
Yeah,
it is. But that triple coverage of the defenses of, you know, who you're playing against.
Yeah, he did that against Clemson and against. I mean, he just wasn't. I think maybe it was the not having the same players around this year, or him just trying to do a lot. But a lot of what he did as a freshman in the poise and the decision making, the good decision making as a freshman wasn't there as a sophomore, and that's just on the field. We don't talk about his off the field decision making.
Yeah, well, and that'll be the key is, you know, what is he gonna do to prepare for games like that ESPN article about Manziel from like a week or two ago? Some of that might be a bit of an exaggeration, but I don't think anyone's doubting or disagreeing with he wasn't preparing properly for NFL games. And
let's face it, none of us came out of college and immediately jumped right up to what the next level is.
Yeah.
And unless you're crazy like Peyton Manning,
yeah.
or you're stiffed like Tom Brady, he was basically given the whatever, go sit on the bench. Those are you got to have a drive. You got to have a powerful drive to make it. Yeah. And a lot of these guys are coming out, and they've been told that their shit doesn't stink for so long that why wouldn't they believe it?
Right. Yeah. It'll be interesting. But enough talking about the Noles.
I would say, I mean, in terms of surprises in the ACC, positive surprises.
Yeah.
A tie between Georgia Tech and Duke. Georgia Tech, we talked about Paul Johnson possibly getting fired, and they won the Coastal.
Exactly.
And
we were hoping they'd go all the way.
Duke
take down an old.
God, fuck that game.
Like a legitimate 9-win team this year.
Yeah.
And I mean they're a pain in the ass to play against. And for the third year in a row, they lost a bowl game, and it was an entertaining as hell bowl game. So
they're getting
good at this and giving people their money's worth and finding new ways to kick their fans in the balls, which is a sign that you've arrived as a football program when you can make your fans miserable.
That's true.
Well, no. It's when you build hope and then make them miserable. Not
going
1-11, you'll have miserable fans too. But they're used to it. Yeah, no. It. God, fucking man. All I can see is that goddamn screen pass return for a fucking pick six, and then another.
Oh,
Florida can never bitch about quarterbacks ever. Our guy threw two pick sixes in the same goddamn game.
But once he got away from those tough ACC defenses in the bowl game, Cole Stout just looked amazing.
No, the best was I was flying to St. Louis from New Orleans that day, and my my plane landed about 40 minutes before the game, and then I had to get a rental car to drive down to the bar. And so we ended up, I got there with about 5 minutes left in the first quarter, and we were already up 17-0. I was like, what the fuck has happened? I don't understand a goddamn thing, but this is awesome. You know, this is like walking into the bedroom and you've got like five models there naked. Like, I don't know what happened, but I'm pretty happy right now.
My fiance is a Sooner fan. Well, she's a Sooner, and she missed the game, but so we DVR'd it, and I watched it. I was watching the game live, and she came back at about 17-0. She said, "Does this get any better, or should I just turn it off?" I'm like, "You may just want to turn it off." I think she kept she watched it for a little bit longer. So, yeah, I would say, yeah, those are the two biggest surprises. Clemson is winning 10 games again is a small surprise, yeah. But not a huge one. Disappointments.
Well, hold on though. Yeah. Before we go to disappointments, I'm gonna run in the opposite direction with surprise real quick. I wasn't really that surprised by Duke doing well. I expect good things out of Cutcliffe. The surprise for me in the ACC this year was Boston College.
Yeah.
And the big time upset over USC. I love what Steve Adazio is doing with that program.
I know. Who would have thought that?
They had to replace pretty much everybody on offense from last year, and they had a pretty decent offense. Now they lose just about everybody from the offense again, so we have to do it. Yeah, but they had another 7-win season, and these teams are a pain in the ass to play against.
Yeah, the real question is going to be how much they lose on the line, because that was I think most of their line was intact coming into this year, and
yeah. Phil Steele has the returning starters list.
God, I love that man.
Yeah.
He does all the work for me.
Oh, yeah. Let's see.
I don't know. He's kind of creepy looking.
They bring back a total of 9 starters on their team. Total. Ooh. And let's see. No offensive linemen.
Yeah.
Ooh.
So they could be in some trouble. Yeah, let's see. They bring back... they're a running back, 2 receivers, and then on their defense, they bring back 6 defensive players. So, but they lose 3 of their 4 defensive backs. But yeah, no returning offensive linemen. I don't know how you do that. That's amazing to me. But so yeah, but they'll probably win 7 games again, just because that's what he does. Let's see. Disappointments. I'd love to call UVA a disappointment, but I mean, I think we kind of expected them to suck.
Mike London.
Yeah, and he's coming back for another year. It's glorious. UNC and Miami, I think, probably deserve a mention because of all the ridiculous amounts of hype they get. And UNC gave up 70 points to East Carolina. They got destroyed by Butgers in their bowl game. Once again, like, this is just what they do. They get everyone believing in them. They start off terribly to start the year, rally to get to a bowl. Miami, everyone thought they turned the corner, and they had that close call against Florida State. And then they ended up the end of the year getting killed by UVA and Pitt, neither of whom were very good. And then they lost their bowl game to a not-so-good South Carolina.
Yeah. It is interesting how in the ACC we had the Atlantic where it was, you know, 5 teams comfortably above 500, you know, doing relatively well, it seemed. And then you had the Coastal, which was essential, more or less Georgia Tech and Duke, and then
there was this other team.
A bunch of mishmash.
You had a team which beat the national champions on the road and then couldn't score against Wake Forest.
Yes, they are absolutely the disappointment because that game, I don't know what to say about it.
I watched every play, and I don't know what to say about it.
You watch? Oh, my dear sweet Lord.
I've seen things.
See, that tops me. I saw every play of Baby on Burnin' in person, but I can't imagine watching every play of that.
Well, thankfully, I wasn't in the stadium. If I were in the stadium, I probably would have, like, jumped in front of a bus afterwards. Well, but it was such a weird year. I mean, yeah, they had that game, and then in their next game, they went up against UVA. UVA had a really good defense all year, and Tech put up over 400 yards on them, which was the most UVA given out all year. So it was
yeah,
like,
but Tech's point total for that number of yards was not impressive.
Well, they shot themselves in the foot, and they had crappy field position a lot, so they couldn't. It was one of those where you could move the ball 40 yards on a drive and still be nowhere near scoring. And because Michael Brewer is, well, I don't want to. He's not very good. They managed to. It was the most surprising and the most disappointing result all in the same year. It was not the most fun year, but it ended all right. So, ended with a bowl game win. So not everyone on this podcast can say that.
I'm looking because I had to because I'm a masochist. So in 2013, SU had 7 wins, at which point I thought, well, we're not great. And the last win was against a team called the Minnesota Gophers. So a year later, we had 3 wins. And the Gophers went on, and our wins were against Wake Forest, the oof game. Central Michigan, and a double overtime to squeak it out against Villanova.
Villanova was a really good 1AA team. I think they were number one in the country for a while.
And,
so.
And you made your schedule easier this year by playing Rhode Island to open the season.
Oh, my God.
Rhode Island has a football team?
We probably told them to go build one.
Yeah, I'm more impressed Rhode Island has a college.
The Rams of Rhode Island.
Well, they're in the dance a decent amount, aren't they? Rhode Island is.
They were. They have been before.
Well, today I learned.
I just had no clue they had a football program at all.
They're in the CAA with William and Mary, so that's how I know they exist.
I'll be honest. Rhode Island's probably pretty surprised to know they have a football team as well.
Not a lot of time probably spent cheering for that.
Oh, they were on Marshall's schedule this year. Okay.
Marshall. All right, so now we get to move to a fun conference. The Big 12.
I was wondering which joke you were going with.
Defense remains optional.
First, we should laugh at Iowa State.
I have to feel sad for them.
And Kansas with their mercy killing of the Charles.
But that was weird, too. Because, you hired him. And you're Kansas. And you think you're going to get better?
Yeah, see,
I think that they did get better. They almost beat TCU without him.
Exactly.
I think Kansas's problem is that 2000X happened, and they got it in their heads that they could be a good football team, and da da da, and no. I guess in terms of surprises, good surprises, really. I mean,
I would say TCU's offense. Like we thought they'd be good because of just Gary Patterson and defense, but they had one of the best offenses in the country.
Yeah, and it's the only other one really, and it kind of paled as the season went on, would be WVU, if we had done this at the midpoint of the season, I mean, they were going into November 2-4-5. They were 6-2 going in.
West Virginia's defense remains shockingly good. Where did that even come from?
Yeah. They hired Tom Bradley from Pitt. I can't remember if he's their coordinator or he's just a consultant, or not Pitt, Penn State. Yeah.
I was about to say, wait, what?
Pitt's never had anyone good on their coaching. And if they
all right, hold on. We need someone to fix this big problem. Go find me someone from Pitt.
What was I going to say? I lost my train of thought.
At the end of the day, it certainly wasn't, it was 7-6, mm-hmm. but, which granted is an improvement from 4-8, it seems like the Big 12 for the most part kind of went as expected. We learned
Oklahoma collapsing was sort of expected, but not quite in the fashion in which.
Yeah.
They just find different ways to do it. So yeah, no, it's certainly not precedent. Not surprised they collapse. It's like, really, you did it this way this time.
They started off well. Then Katy Perry said nice, hit on Trevor Knight on television, and he went to shit immediately after that.
Yeah, and it culminated in a pasting on national TV. And I should point this out. That loss was by a bigger margin than Clemson's loss to WVU. Yes.
Yeah, because it was before the TCU game when Katy Perry did the Trevor Call Me. Against TCU, he went 14 of 35. Two picks.
I think I might be technically positively surprised by Texas making it to a bowl, especially watching that offensive line play for the first half of the season. I think getting to 6 wins is near miraculous for them, regardless of the strength of the conference.
Yeah, their offense was tragic by any standard. Was it two rushing yards in their bowl game against or something like that?
That happened to a lot of people that played Arkansas.
Yeah. Not quite. Let me see. Hang on. I'm getting the box score here. Yeah, Texas had a total of 59 yards in their bowl game. How you have a month to prepare and can only put up 59 yards?
Yeah.
I think my fandom has changed because of EDBS. What's the name of it? EDSBS. God, have another beer. I now sometimes am very sad for some teams because I know people that are very nice on the board. And between Bevo and some of the other horn boys. And maybe that didn't come out so hot. And our Iowa State fans. It's just like, oh, you poor things.
Oh, I don't care. I will never wish for Ohio State to have nice things. Ever.
No, I won't. I like seats, but I still was very, very grumpy on a certain night in January.
I think we should also laugh at, this is why you have a conference championship game, fools.
Yes. Is any conference besides the Big 12 so perpetually and obviously in need of competent conference leadership and unable to find it?
I don't think they have enough money to find it, or they're too corrupt to want it.
Well, and they're kind of in this weird spot because, all right, we can have the argument about, well, you just need 10 teams and you play everybody once and yada yada. Yeah, I don't give a flying fuck about that. And it's if they want to be relevant in the college football playoff world, they either have to find two teams so that they can have a conference championship game, or you're kind of accepting the fact that something like this can happen.
Or get the rules changed so that they can have a championship game with just 10 teams.
Yeah.
I want to believe – I don't think it mattered, but I want to believe that the bullshit they pulled with trying to have co-champs and not designate a champion – cost them a playoff spot. I don't think it mattered in the long run, but I'd really like to believe that the committee said, "Oh, we see what you're trying to do, Ballsby, and fuck you for trying it."
Yeah,
having two trophies, and after saying, "Oh, one true champion," but we're not going to call him a champion.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I think that's the thing that's best to me is just they ran all those one true champion ads and then, yeah.
They had a separate trophy made for TCU and Baylor so each one could call them champions.
Yeah.
Champions.
And it's somehow fitting that the team that replaced either of them in the playoff won the whole thing. You know, it's like, not only did you not get in, but they won the whole thing. So if you had been in, maybe there was a shot that you could run the table in the playoffs.
I think TCU would have had a legitimate shot at running the table, but that
given
might
how
just
they
be how angry they were, yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure you were happy to see what they did to Ole Miss, but yeah, they looked great in that game. And
they really did.
Yeah, who knows how it would have been if they'd have gotten in instead of Ohio State.
And I didn't really even feel like it was Ole Miss playing that much worse than normal. It seemed like even when they'd get a playoff and execute really well, a TCU defensive back would just fly out of nowhere.
Yeah, I think if you told me Bo Wallace played that entire game concussed, I'd believe it. Because he looked even more Dr. Bo-ish than usual.
Yeah, well, he had some stupidly good performances this year.
He did. People don't realize how important he was to that.
Oh, yeah. Big time.
Yeah. And the Purple Wizard did his thing. That's probably fair to say.
You know, I actually got to the end of the season hating him for that shit he pulled with the jumping on the players in the last couple of plays.
It was against UCLA. Fuck UCLA.
What was the point?
Hey, game's not over.
That is true. That is true.
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of a dick move, but Jim Mora Jr.'s a dick, so I'm not. I don't shed any tears for them.
Yeah, we're not gonna cry. But yeah. So now I guess we have to move to the current national champion conference, the Big Ten.
How the hell did this happen? God damn it, Oregon, you had one job.
I blame Alabama.
I really do blame Alabama. They should not have lost that game, the position they were in.
I mean,
Ezekiel Elliott is,
man,
you know, fantastic, but that should still have not happened. Like, that series, it was late in the third quarter or midway through the fourth, I don't even remember now, when Ohio State punted out of their end zone twice.
Yeah, you've
bad mojo.
You know, and it's what's interesting I found is, you know, being an LSU fan with Saban, like, you know, LSU getting criticized for lack of a quarterback, and that kind of killed Saban in this game. You know, like, not having someone that could really be a quarterback and really make some plays. Like, could you imagine a Winston or a Mariota on Bama's team in that situation where it can be like, look, guys, I can get this first down or get, you know, this touchdown we need.
And, well, I would say the bigger problem is they didn't realize that they didn't have that Blake Sims wasn't getting it done, and they didn't just run the damn ball.
Well, like, that's the bizarre thing. If you go back and you watch the LSU game, the late LSU game, the overtime drive and everything, Blake Sims was one of the most professional, poised-looking quarterbacks in the entire country in a lot of games this year, and he just seemed to fall apart out there. I don't know how much of that's on Kiffin for calling bad plays and putting in bad situations, but he didn't have a good day. And but on the other hand, Bama's offense did not lose that game.
Nope.
Yeah, right. And the funny thing, too, was then, you know, we saw that against Ohio State, and there was the assumption that Ohio State wouldn't be able to stop Oregon then. But, or like, for whatever reason, like, Oregon has just never dealt with a quality defensive line. Like, And the theory I've always heard, and because we've talked about it with the Clemson stuff, is, you know, that spread, hurry up, no huddle, you know, depending on whatever variation you're running, there's the idea of you want these lighter, more athletic offensive linemen. But then the problem is you come across a freakish defensive line, and it's, well, your offense is basically screwed now because they're getting in the backfield every play, which is more or less what happened.
Yeah. And Ohio State was able to keep Oregon on the field, Oregon's defense on the field. And, I mean, you know, Oregon's got those two quick scores early in the third quarter, and in some ways that was a bad thing for them because their offense, they couldn't kind of do their thing where they grind your defense down and they just run a ton of plays. It reminded, you know, when they met, I think, in the 2010 Rose Bowl, and they, Ohio State beat them with trestle ball, where they had the ball for like 40 minutes, and they said, we're never going to let you have the football. And Urban Meyer did a high rent trestle ball on them, with just pounding Ezekiel Elliott, and yeah, just ran him over.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, we have to give Ohio State credit for winning a title with their third string quarterback.
Yep. I think that's the reason that all of us are really pissed off at Hart, is because there was absolutely no reason for them to win, and they did it anyway.
Yeah. And we thought after Tech beat them, I was like, oh, Ohio State, you know, they're gonna suck, and somehow they pull it together and win their conference.
I mean, let's be real.
Tech is tanking their season to keep Ohio State out of the playoff chase, and nobody in the Big Ten can beat them.
Urban Meyer did the same thing he did for years at Florida, which is, you know, have all your tough stuff at the beginning of the season,
yeah,
you know, load the end with some patsies and run the score up and get your way into the postseason and win.
We can't all
play proven theory.
We can't all play cupcakes like Michigan to end our season. Which, I mean, it's funny that Michigan really wasn't a disappointment this year. That was about what we expected out of Michigan.
I think missing a bowl game was, we thought they'd like get to a shitty bowl game and he'd get fired.
That's true. I think that what really disappointed more people about Michigan wasn't necessarily the results at the end of the day, but how they managed to get to those results. There was some unprecedented fuckery involved.
Yeah. I mean, they lost to both the pledges.
Which, that may have been our worst pick of this, or worst prediction of the season. How is Rutgers even going to get two wins? I don't know. It might not happen. Well, they're 8-5. No figure.
I think they would probably be the surprise of the Big Ten. Them, I would say Minnesota being a legitimate 8-win team would also be a surprise, one of those two.
Considering what Minnesota had to do for those wins, definitely.
Yeah.
I think, too, it's not just Minnesota getting 8 wins, which I think everyone thought, yeah, that could happen. It was that, going into the second to last week of the season, if they win that game, they're going to the Big Ten championship.
Yeah.
Or no, sorry. Going into the last game of the season.
Yeah, they played at Wisconsin. Yeah.
Yeah. If they win that, I believe they would have. Yeah, because it would have been 6-2. Wisconsin would have been 6-2. And they would have owned the head to head. So they would have gone to Indianapolis instead. That was the big surprise.
I think the advanced stats kind of said that they said the 2013 Minnesota was bullshit and unicorn farts, whereas 2014 they're like, yeah, just unicorn farts. Like, they're like actually like a pretty good team. So yeah, I think they deserve credit for that. And you know, with basically they had a really good tight end, Max with two X's, and he was their passing game.
Yeah.
Yes, and he made some incredible plays. So
yeah.
There were a lot of parallels between Minnesota and Arkansas, both of them fantastic grinding running offenses with a really, really good tight end that was the only person they could throw to.
Yeah. And they made it work somehow.
That takes a lot of determination and execution to be that one-dimensional and succeed with it, especially considering how complicated everything's gotten. Like, that's – it was really impressive watching Minnesota play a lot of those games.
So does Nebraska fall into the disappointment or the surprise or completely expected to go 9-4 because that's just what they do category?
That is completely expected to go 9-4.
The surprise for Nebraska was that Mr. Bo Pelini got the act. I am going to enjoy their future 6-7 seasons, which is a shame because Mike Riley seems like a good guy.
Yeah, hiring Mike Riley, it's like when you're in a relationship that goes sour, and so the next girl you date is completely unlike the previous girl. Like, that's what it feels like with hiring Riley over Pelini. Like, they went from a raging asshole to the nicest human being anyone has ever met.
That's true. Weren't they like, wasn't their university president or something, like, openly stating to the media that they were going to get Bielema or something? Bielema? I can never say it right.
Yeah. Bielema better because he's definitely doesn't have that problem.
I know that they were rumored to be after him, and I don't know if it got how serious it got, but yeah, I think that somebody within the athletic department tried to talk to him, but he doesn't want to. He loves the barbecue down there or something.
Well, as Notre Dame would tell us, as long as it's just the tip, you're fine. I had to. no apologies. Who else?
I know Iowa's fans are extremely disappointed.
There was only one possible endpoint for the contract they gave Ferentz, and this is it.
No, the best part of Iowa was that press conference a week or two ago. That was fantastic.
I think getting mutilated in their bowl game by Tennessee is really what's kind of put them over the edge. Because, yeah. I mean, it's one thing to lose to, like, good teams, but Tennessee is not that good, and Tennessee just destroyed them.
Yeah, there's really no excuse for letting Tennessee score that many points. They've got a surprisingly stiff defense, but they've gotten boat raced in a lot of games just because their offense can't stay on the field.
Yeah.
Tennessee scoring that many points is a bad sign at their current level.
It kind of suggested that Iowa wasn't all that interested in being there, and that never looks good on a coach.
No, not at all. Not at all. But, yeah.
And, unless it's Saban, roll Tide.
Well, yeah, they know to excuse those games. So.
Yeah. But, all right, well, so next, I guess, the Pac-12. Oregon was Oregon.
Yeah.
No surprise there. Stanford was kind of the surprise to me.
They rallied at the end there. I mean, they looked bad for stretches, and then they killed UCLA and killed Maryland in the bowl game. I would say Arizona would be my surprise just because they had to replace a lot, and they won 10 games, and they beat Oregon.
I mean,
it didn't end well for them, but, I mean, 10 wins for them.
Yeah. And Solomon might be the surprise of the conference. Yeah. Absolutely incredible work from him, considering the situations he was in. And I didn't find out until the end of the season that he was a freshman. I was shocked.
He'll do some dumb things, but he does enough really good things that you can kind of overlook the stupidity. If you watch the end of the bowl game, you kind of saw that stupidity on display on that last desperation drive. But, yeah, looking at the South, the Pac-12 South, Arizona went 10-4, UCLA 10-3, Arizona State 6-3, USC 9-4, Utah 9-4, Colorado 2-10.
Yeah, I do have to say for UCLA, it was – I mean, they were overrated to start the season, but at 7. But at the same time, 10-3 is,
We did get them right when we said that they were overrated to start the year and they weren't national title good. So we should give ourselves credit for that.
Yeah. That's true. Memphis scoring almost 50 points on them at home.
Yeah.
Oh,
needing two pick sixes to beat UVA.
Yeah. I forgot that happened. That was.
Yeah, and then they crush USC at the end of the year, and then they're going in and all that they have. I think if they beat Stanford, they win the South, and they just get crushed.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, porn Aggie, whatever the fuck we call Arizona State, had a pretty nice.
Got a lot of letters that starts with N.
Yeah, something like that.
Tire
shot.
Oregon, there's really only one disappointment, and that's Oregon State. the fact that, I mean, they have a good quarterback who stayed healthy, and they couldn't get to a bowl. That shouldn't happen in college.
I don't think U.S. Sorry.
Yeah.
Oh, no, keep going.
I was just going to say, other disappointment, I don't think USC had an excuse for how poorly they did, other than, I mean, a lot of us predicted it when they hired 7-1 Sark, but that Boston College loss.
The Boston College loss, if you look at their, I mean, they lost on a Hail Mary to Arizona State, and then they were leading Utah with 2 minutes to go, and they needed 3 yards to clinch the game, and they couldn't get. They ran two of the stupidest plays you'll ever see, and then Utah went drove down the field and scored with like 10 seconds left. Against Arizona State, they nearly screwed that one up. But they won at Stanford, so they had another strange year, and they killed Notre Dame, which doesn't really mean much because Notre Dame wasn't very good. But,
yeah. That is true. Wow.
It was a weird year for them too.
Yeah.
Yeah. But all right. So of course the important conference, according to everybody.
SEC. Ain't won a title in 2 years, Paul.
We're going to go ahead and call our biggest disappointment Alabama for choking away a massive lead and dishonoring the conference again.
No. The biggest disappointment, the best disappointment, and God Almighty, I hope it happens every year with South Carolina.
There's some Homeric tendencies there in that nomination, but
you're
not,
I do not know what you speak of.
I forgot how meteoric South Carolina's fall was. I think we can talk about that a little bit because it really does change the entire conference landscape, the fact that they were ranked so high at the beginning of the year, which in turn caused Aggie to be overrated, which in turn caused every other team in the SEC West to be overrated.
Because they all destroyed Aggie.
Yes.
Yeah. But at least, like, for A&M, I mean, vastly overrated, but at least they finished, you know, they were 7-5 before the bowl game. You know,
They were certainly respectable by the end, but they jumped up pretty high there.
Oh, yeah, they were 6th the third week in the season, I believe. And then, nope. It's interesting with South Carolina because, I mean, Spurrier is their greatest coach, hands down.
Right.
Greatest coach they've ever had. I mean, it was up until 2009, 2010, they were the only team with a stadium of at least 80,000 people that had a losing record. And you think about it, I mean, if you've got an 80,000 person stadium, you take football pretty seriously.
Well, I mean, yeah, but you're over there in South Carolina competing against God's conference, so that's going to be the result.
Good man, I like you. I like you.
Well, I mean, it's clear that if the SEC was God's conference, we've lost that favor. We're Northern Israel about right now.
He might not be wrong, you know.
South Carolina is the biggest disappointment. Although even with them, I feel like they were overrated to start the year. When you look at everything they lost,
absolutely.
They should never have been a top 10 team to start. And we figured that out after one game when Texas A&M just crop dusted them.
I do have to say though, possibly my favorite game is complete neutral was Bama's pasting of A&M.
Yes.
God.
Hilarious.
That was that day, and I go, I don't normally root for Bama, but I root for Bama today.
Like that. That was just a, we're going to push your shit in, and it doesn't matter. You're not stopping it.
One of the things that I've really noticed about Bama is, if I were a Bama fan, I'd be worried, is they've got the Mike Tyson thing where they show up, they expect their opponent to be intimidated, and they punch them really hard early. And if the opponent quits, they're fine. If the opponent gets off the mat, you know, shit tends to go downhill on them.
Yeah.
And Aggie stayed on the mat. Like, after it was 14-0, A&M was like, we're done.
Yeah. That was the crazy thing about the Klang-Obama game, is that if we hadn't had so many turnovers, Bama nearly blew a 19-0 home lead against us.
And they only beat
Arkansas by a single point. So, I mean, really, if we're looking at Bama's season, honestly, the same warning signs were there for them that were there for Florida State. And because the SEC West was so enormously overrated, no one really paid notice.
Yeah, and against Ole Miss, they had the double-digit lead, and they couldn't put Ole Miss away. They got out to that early lead against Ohio State, because Ohio State had all the turnovers, and you thought, okay, your team with their third-string quarterback, this is over. And Ohio State never quit, and then Alabama just never had – they just looked lost and didn't seem to want to run the football. You couldn't tackle Ezekiel Elliott. I mean, obviously, we're a little facetious when saying they're the biggest disappointment, but I think that and the fact that, you know, 2 years in a row their secondary has been a disaster would worry me if I were a Bama fan.
All three of their touchdowns that they gave up to Bo Wallace were on blown coverage, and admittedly, when Ole Miss has the receivers that they do, they can run past some people, but when the entire offensive output of the other team is blown coverage, you got to be worried about where you are.
The one redeeming person in their secondary was Landon Collins, and he's off to the NFL. Now I know they've got you know, superstars waiting behind them, but that's not good with just how bad their secondary was this year. I would say in terms of surprises, positive surprises, depending on if you want either Missouri or Klanga. Klanga because they got to number one. Missouri, you know, 11 wins despite not really having a quarterback.
I think Missouri gets to be it simply for actually winning their bowl game. Otherwise, I'd be tempted to make a case for either Klanga for, you know, because Ole Miss, because doing as much as they did with the offense they had is nothing short of a miracle. I mean, good gravy, it was unwatchable.
Ole Miss is out of the discussion because of what happened to them against TCU. Klang at least put up a fight in their bowl game. They looked like they hadn't prepared at all for the triple option.
Yeah. Well, stop the triple option, and then they moved to that fullback zone. And I think me and my brother were counting. I think that Georgia Tech ran that same fullback zone play 7 times in a row at one point in the second half and scored 2 touchdowns within that span. So,
yeah, it's not good.
In-game adjustments were a big, big problem. So that's going to be a big question mark, I guess, moving into next year for Klanga, is does the defense look as lost as it did at the end of last season? Does having a new coordinator to solidify things? And yes, we do lose a ton. So I would not expect to see a return of the mysteriously number one Klanga unless, you know, another 2000X happens. But
it felt like with Klanga, and I mean, once they got to number one, like all the pressure hit them, and they were just never quite as good. You know, just in terms of, I know that we found out later that A&M and LSU and Auburn weren't that great, but Klanga was legitimately really good in those games, and they could never seem to match those performances.
I mean, if you look at the biggest difference from those games to the games in the rest of the season, Klanga's offensive line is made up of mostly, you know, walk-ons and nobodies that
were seniors last year that had just become all of a sudden world beaters. Like Beckwith didn't even have a scholarship when he got here and got SEC lineman of the week three times, playing at multiple positions. But then they just weren't getting any push. By the time we got to the Egg Bowl, the offensive line was straight up missing blocks. And like, I guess we were basically inverse Ohio State. Everything just seemed to fall apart late for no apparent reason and at the worst possible time. So that's probably what keeps Klinger from being the surprise darling of the SEC this year, and definitely makes that Missouri.
Missouri won a game where their quarterback went 6 of 18 for 20 yards. So that, I don't know if that helps or hurts their cause, but it just needs mentioning.
I mean,
against Florida.
We talked a little bit earlier when we were talking about the Big 12 about, like, think about how different this conversation would be if we were having it midway through the season and how high we'd be on West Virginia. Well, we're having this conversation midway through the season. Think about just how absolutely mind-blowing everyone thought the SEC West was. Like, even the statistics people who don't normally get caught up in wild, specious arguments were just absolutely frothing at the mouth. And we get to the end of the season, and we're like, well, Alabama had a disappointing postseason, and no one else really stands out. Missouri, maybe? The indifference is astounding.
Yeah, I think people overreacted a little to the bowl games, but, I mean, when you've heard for years people say, oh, well, SEC won their bowl games, this proves they're awesome. Then when the SEC West teams, you know, call it, for the most part, crap their pants in the bowl games, you can't be surprised when there's the reaction in the opposite direction.
Oh, yeah, no, absolutely. I fully expected that particular phenomenon. It's just it seems like every single team was clown fraud rather than, you know, just you have four or five teams that look really good, and it turns out only one or two of them are really good. No one was great. Like, absolutely no one was great.
LSU was definitely not good, especially on offense. Their quarterback was Cole Stout level awful for most of the season.
Yeah, I was all up and ready to declare Arkansas the dark horse, you know, surprise.
Beat the rush.
And, oh my God, getting shut out against Missouri was...
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of, you know, don't sleep on Arkansas. And they're going to be so underrated in the offseason that they'll become overrated.
Yeah, they're going to become the new in pick.
Yeah. And Florida going 7-5, honestly not that awful, considering what we all expected from them. So...
Big dumb Will Muschamp football.
May he rest in peace.
We talk a lot about the Virginia Tech Wake Forest game as one of the worst games of last year. I would like to submit for anyone who's brave enough to go try and rewatch it, the Florida LSU game.
Uh-huh.
Nope. You can't make me. You
watch it the first time.
Watch it the first time.
Florida played a couple clunkers last year.
And there was then that beat the pants off of Georgia.
Yeah.
And holy shit, was that funny.
That was hilarious. Florida also has me a little bit mad because, you know, there I was sitting watching every play of us getting ripped apart by Ole Miss for no apparent reason. And this entire time, Florida's threatening to finally be the team that beats FSU. And no, they choked that away at the end, too.
Yeah, they beat Tennessee 10-9. They had the...
Oh, that was painful.
Yeah, the triple overtime game against Kentucky that they scored a tying touchdown in overtime on a play that probably shouldn't have happened. Yeah, the Missouri game, the LSU game. Yeah, the Florida State, they had a lot of dumb, ugly football.
Yeah, no, I think that Florida might have been a worse on-the-field team than Michigan was, which is why I'm really... really upset that my preseason prediction of Florida versus Michigan in the Duck Commander Independence Bowl did not come true, because bad football deserves that game.
Yeah, but if only Michigan had beaten Butkers, then that would have happened.
If only.
I think that it would have been at Birmingham instead, which is really 6-1, a half dozen the other with Shreveport. But I really did want to see Michigan in the Duck Commander Bowl just to watch their fans.
Yeah, Michigan fans in Shreveport. What could possibly go wrong?
Yeah, really. No problem there.
And we should also give James Franklin the award for knowing when to bail.
Holy crap! Yeah.
Good night.
Eject. But it's funny. I was actually really impressed by Derek Mason on the coaches cam for the national title game.
Yes,
he was very soft spoken guy, which is also kind of funny given how Franklin appeared to be very much fire and brimstone.
And soft-spoken defensive coach is not something you hear a lot.
No.
I was surprised by how good he looked analyzing defense compared to Narduzzi.
Yeah. Yeah, Narduzzi just kind of – which, granted, TV bit, but he might have been like, yeah, we did that. It didn't really work. We did that. Well, it worked kind of well.
I think my favorite Narduzzi moment was him and I can't remember who else started ganging up at – in garbage time of the game on, oh yeah, Oregon's, you know, soft. They can't really power anyone down. And I'm like, you of all people should know better than that after what happened to you.
Yeah. Right.
Let's not get picky there, sir.
He was thinking of the Rose Bowl last year and what he did to Stanford, though.
Well,
just pretend we flashed a gif of that up.
I say, was his erection showing as he was talking about it?
Thankfully, there was a rather thick table there.
Thank the Lord.
Children watching, you know.
But yeah, Vandy lost everybody good from their previous team, and they went 0-8 in the SEC.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, Kentucky started off 5-1. They started printing T-shirts, and they missed the bowl entirely. Kentucky.
Tennessee,
that was pretty sad because I don't necessarily dislike Ginger Stoops.
Well, someone's got to fail spectacularly every year at Oklahoma when Maine Stoops goes away.
I think he's got to get to a bowl first to convince Oklahoma to hire Fredo.
Yeah. So, are we calling Kentucky to the playoff next year?
No, because Kentucky lost to LSU 41-3.
Yeah,
that eliminates all arguments.
Are you arguing for the death penalty?
wait until they're caught paying recruits in football. Wait until an UPS envelope, a FedEx envelope busts open with $20,000 in cash.
They're routing all their bagman stuff for the football team through Calipari.
Is it bad? Like, if I was an AD in that situation and we got caught cheating, I would go in front of the NCAA and go, guys, we were cheating. However, I asked for mercy because it sure as shit wasn't working.
I hope they kept the receipt. You know,
is there a money back guarantee on this?
And it was pretty incredible, like how they didn't look completely awful. They had some glaring weak points, but they had a pretty decent quarterback. They had, you know, a couple of pretty good players on their defense, and they seemed like they were puttering along, and then everything fell to pieces.
Yeah. And all of a sudden
they got murdered by LSU. Then against Klanga, they hung in there and had it a one-score game for a while. Missouri, they weren't awful. Georgia, I think they put up 31, but I know they fell behind early. Tennessee beat them 50-16.
Yes, they did.
I feel like early season Kentucky was kind of how we described Minnesota for 2013, or Bill Connolly did. You know, magic and unicorn farts type of thing. And granted, I mean, you looked at who they played. They didn't play anyone. They played all teams that were shit.
But when you're Kentucky, though, beating the shit teams is half the battle.
Yeah. And
But I think it should have been a big warning sign. They only put up 20 points against Ohio.
Yeah, but then at the same time, you know, they put 48 on UL Monroe, 45 on Carolina. You know, they lost, but they did get 30 on Florida, and that was triple overtime.
Yeah, in the right. swamp.
Yeah.
And, you know, for all of Florida's flaws, they really didn't give up a whole lot of points last season, except for that Missouri game, which remains inexplicable.
Yeah, but that, I mean, that was more, because wasn't that the one where Missouri scored a touchdown in, like, every way possible?
Yeah, there were some like,
there was a pick six, there was a fumble return, there was a special teams return or two.
That was Jeff Driscoll possibly playing drunk. Like that was him doing his Bo Wallace impression.
So,
and just throwing the ball to nobody in particular.
So fun fact, Cole Stout's numbers are comparable to Jeff Driscoll's.
Oh.
That's how bad Cole Stout was for us.
Oh.
And you saw it against the Georgia game. Like Driscoll has always just been bad. Like Cole Stout first game. But he really has.
Hey, yeah. Yeah, yeah. I think I noticed Spencer mentioning that a time or two.
You just went full Northern New Yorker there. Yeah, that's pretty impressive.
It sounded more Midwestern to me.
Yeah, but
too much time with these damn people from Michigan.
With a hint of Canadian in it, though.
Hey?
Yes. No, but you saw the moment Cole Stout broke against Georgia. Like, his mind just went blank. Which then makes the Oklahoma win even funnier. It was all to get a dig.
Oh, so SU sucked, but boy, there was some good.
There were still some good moments. It was also funny with Florida because, you know, South Carolina was telling, their fans were telling us before you, no, Mizzou and Florida have great defenses. They're much better than anything you guys can do. Da, 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 da. And then, I had a text from a friend after the first quarter. He goes, ooh. Yeah, we might have been wrong.
Maybe.
But, no, Florida was. Florida really is if they can find a quarterback. I mean, because they have some pretty good talent at the skill positions besides quarterback.
I never did figure out, did Mr. Urban Meyer just get sick of the pressure? Did he really lose all control of the program in a...
I think he saw...
a Georgia kind of way.
I don't think he didn't recruit as well as he needed to, I think. Or I guess, nah, that's not fair. I think he knew he kind of had the golden goose.
He had his little time in the sun and he was going to have to get the hell out.
Yeah, and I think he knew it was going to be one of those things where they were going to drop off. And
there was going to be a lot of work to do
keep it rolling.
But even I think had he stayed and been giving more of a commitment to things, I think it would have been one of those. It's kind of like what we're seeing with Alabama, where Alabama had a run of 4 years where it was just stupid. You don't get that very often in college.
And you don't get to run over people like they were.
Yeah. And then, so now all of a sudden it's, oh, we're losing a game or, you know, we're losing another game or da 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 da. And everyone, you know, even outsiders think, oh, they're slipping. They might not be slipping. It might just be more of, this is
like
talent level you get, you know, as a top team. And then occasionally when the stars align and you shit out unicorns, you do something really memorable. And I think that's what happened at Florida. And Meyer, rather than trying to get back up to that level, he just said, fuck it, I'm out.
Goodbye.
Yeah.
I mean, my personal theory is that he got beat by his former offensive coordinator 10-7 at home in a game in which Mississippi State didn't throw a pass in the second half because Ralph.
That broke him?
Yep.
That works too.
I think he got croomed by Mullen is what happened.
I like that phrase.
That's a good theory.
Now,
we like it.
As of right now, with about less than a week to signing day, Florida has the 101st ranked recruiting class according to Rivals. Right above them is is Western Kentucky. So Western Kentucky has a better class coming in than Florida.
Hey now, maybe Bobby Petrino. Wait, no, he's at Louisville now. Never mind.
Yeah. So yeah, they're
find the Syracuse. Yeah, that's what I was afraid of.
58. So Finn, you guys
DNF.
Your orders of magnitude better than Florida. So yeah, I'm not gonna say Florida's dead forever. I don't think they're gonna be much better next year. I think it's gonna take McElwain 2 years to fix things.
You'd have to divide Florida.
Well, so McElwain. What? Who?
Well, he was Saban's offensive coordinator, and then he did a really good job at Colorado State. He was there for 3 years. But I don't know. It's kind of
it's weird.
I don't know if we want to talk about this now or you wanted to do a separate coaches podcast.
I think it's they couldn't get anyone they wanted. I mean, Foley does do very comprehensive searches. He always has. Like it's never one of those, I'm just interviewing one guy who I like, and if I still like him, I'm hiring him. But I think he was turned down. I mean, Dabo said no thanks, that he wasn't interested. Like, yeah. You know, I do know that, because that was part of what...
Dabo likes God's country too much.
I think Dabo knows that he ain't getting fired anytime soon.
That's what I was about.
They can't afford to pay that buyout.
Yeah.
Yeah,
he's not quite Kirk Ferentzian, but he's in the neighborhood.
No, he's got a better buyout than Ferentzian. It's double Ferentzian's buyout.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Well, they didn't really go after Mullen like I thought they would. Hugh Freeze signed a $4 million extension, which is just hilarious that he's getting $4 million a year.
Yeah. I didn't think Foley wanted him. That seemed too Sexton-esque for me.
That felt like Yeah, Jimmy managed to convince Ole Miss that Florida might be interested, and Foley was able to play along to get Ole Miss to tie up a lot of money in a coach they probably didn't want.
Yeah, and I don't think he was ever going to go after Mullen, because, you know, Mullen and Foley will say, you know, the niceties about each other in public, it's an open secret they hate each other's guts.
Mm. Yeah.
So, yeah, it seemed like they settled for McElwain instead of trying to get the big name. But it may I feel the same way about Michigan too, just that yeah, I think they're fixable, but it's not going to happen next year.
Too many things missing. Like I was saying, it was a strong contender for worst game of the year, even compared to VT-00 WF was that Florida versus LSU game in the Swamp, and you can't recover from that in a short amount of time. Like, that leaves wounds on people.
yes, it did.
And yeah, they're probably not going to have, you know, an immediate influx of super talented freshmen to come in and say, okay, you know, they're going to turn this thing around. It's going to be the guys they have on hand are going to have to do it for at least a year, and I don't see it, especially on the offensive side of the ball.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think it's, you know, 2 years out. I may feel differently, but I don't think Muschamp. I don't think McElwain can undo the damage Muschamp did on to their offense in a year.
No,
I mean, I think the way that.
If he is,
I think the way the SEC East is shaping up, they have an outside shot at winning the East, only to lose by 40 to whoever the West sends.
So, somebody has to win the SEC East, and God
nobody
knows.
Wants to.
Georgia should, which means they're going to screw it up.
South Carolina pisses it away in embarrassing fashion.
Yeah.
You know, everyone's expecting Derek Mason to be like on his last limb after the desperation move of naming himself his own defensive coordinator, but I think that Vanderbilt has a legit shot to win the SEC East next year simply because it would make no sense.
Klinga fans, ladies and gentlemen.
So yeah, that, and then yeah, and I think, you know, just the other big name next year is going to be Harbaugh at Michigan, and I think, again, I think they'll be better next year. I don't think they're going to be good, and unfortunately, I think it means Ohio State's going to run the conference for at least another year.
God damn it.
Minnesota needs another Rose Bowl.
Mr. T just got an erection and he doesn't know
why. Doesn't have a clue.
Well, if you look at the East, you know, Harbaugh is going to need at least a year. I think James Franklin's going to need at least 2 years at Penn State just to get bodies. Michigan State,
he's going to jump ship.
Probably. But, you know, Michigan State, I think I read that, you know, people expect them to take a step back next year, and then you don't expect Maryland, Butkers, or Indiana to do anything. So, yeah, I don't think it's, you know, quite Ohio State is going to dominate forever, but it does feel like a Urban Meyer, you know, conquered all the known world and wept like Alexander for a moment here.
You know, it was really funny they were doing that, hey, Urban's not such a bad guy stories. And I was like, okay, maybe. And then I saw him on the field, and yeah, I didn't want to watch him.
You wanted
to punch
him.
I still hate him.
Every coach has enough B-roll footage of them volunteering in a children's hospital to make them temporarily seem like a good person. But we know that all of them are too neurotic to be actually good people, right?
I feel like the profession itself just sucks the good out of you. Like, just with everything you have to deal with and the things you say about other coaches, like, and I say this as somebody who's in a shady profession. It just, you have to be a terrible person on some level to be successful.
Yeah, well, that's what we expect from lawyers and coaches.
There's a certain, you have to be soulless or else you just get chewed up.
Yeah. Or you just really like the money. Something like that. Right.
Money is good.
I mean, yeah.
It's like, hey, I'll get paid $4 million to fail at Florida. I'm okay with that.
Exactly.
But,
it's a good thing.
All right, well, I think we've hit our limit for the evening, so.
I didn't snore.
Victory.
There we go.
So as we head out, our final thoughts, an outlandish prediction for next year. Mongoose, yours?
Let's say Arizona wins the Pac-12. That's going to be my outlandish prediction.
Oh my god, you are going to be killed in your sleep by an angry gopher. All right. Boat Drinks, your outlandish prediction?
I believe the gopher will be happy when his Rose Bowl winning team. Who knows? It'd be great if Minnesota did it.
Rocco, yours?
Neither Oregon nor Stanford is going to win the Pac-12 North.
Ooh, that's fun.
I still believe Chris Peterson's a good coach. I think he had a lot go wrong at Washington. He had to throw off a shit ton of people. Oregon loses Mariota. Stanford, I think, just keeps getting worse. So I'm thinking Washington. And I'm going to regret it by, like, the third week of the season. But that's my prediction right now.
Gooner is going to kill you. And remember, that man knows how to use scalpel.
I'll probably backtrack on that one at some point. But that's my feeling right now.
That's true. Do we need to have, like, a recanting on all our predictions special podcast in, like, week five or something?
Yeah, because I'm just sitting here going, is there any way that actually Mini can even not get to the Rose Bowl? Like, are they even slated to get anywhere near it?
Yeah. And yeah, really, Gooner should be happy because I'm batting about 100 on my predictions, I think, on the podcast. Yeah. So me picking bad things for Oregon probably guarantees they're going to win the title next year.
That is true. All right, and mine will be the four playoff teams will be TCU, Ohio State, Clemson, and Arizona State.
Wow.
There's your bold prediction, kids.
Bold. Bold.
Yeah. It will be 2010X.
Will Todd Graham be coaching in the playoffs, or will he have taken a new job before then?
He'll be spending time with his family down in Tallahassee. Jimbo Fisher, come on down to the New York Giants.
Oh, I'd be fine never to see his islands again.
That would be fantastic. All right, so for Mongoose, Boat Drinks, and El Rocco, I'm Brian. You've been listening to MSECU Radio. Have a great weekend, kids. Don't do drugs.